Well, hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor at the Marion campus. So thankful that you've chosen to join us on the Drivecast today. I hope your week is off to a good start, and your day as well. This past Sunday, we closed out the series we've been in for about a little over a month now, called Asking for a Friend. And I sort of made the joke on Sunday that the passages just kept on, getting more and more difficult, it seemed, at least from a teaching perspective. And this Sunday was one of those topics, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, that I understand is just so oftentimes sensitive for so many of us, whether we've grown up within a divorced home, maybe we've been divorced, or maybe we're in a marriage that's really struggling, maybe we're single, and as a result of a divorce, and we're not sure what to do. Wherever we are, I understand that this topic and this issue is just really extraordinarily sensitive. And so in order to try and approach that in a biblical and hopefully healthy and helpful way, I really spent quite a bit of time looking at the very function and purpose of marriage. And to do that, I went into two different passages. First, beginning in the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 2, what's really unique is we see that God creates man out of dust, and he breathes life into man. And then later, after man has been given his assignment to really cultivate and to name animals and to seek a helper, no suitable helper is found. And then from there, by a different process, in a different time, God creates woman out of man, takes a rib out of Adam and forms woman out of man. And Adam wakes up and he sees this woman and he says, "Look, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." They have this unique unity, Adam and Eve do, unlike anything else. And yet they're distinct. They're these different creations, both made in the image of God, but both made at different times and in a different process. But united because of the unique situation and the unique creation process that God uses. And so the reason I went into that story is while, again, they're different, they're united, that's one of the primary functions and purposes of marriage. These two unlike people being united through the sexual union, two becoming one. And Jesus references that in Matthew 19, beginning in verses 3 all the way through verse 8. And in this is really a picture of what Jesus does on the cross in the gospel. We are separated from God. We're sinful. We go our own way. God is holy. God is perfect. And yet what the gospel does is it unites two unlike things to a degree, two things that are separated as a result of sin, unites us through the gospel. We are united with the Father. We are given the Holy Spirit of God to dwell inside of us. I mean, just an extraordinary thing. And so one of the purposes of marriage is to reflect the unity that the gospel brings. So we talked a lot about that. And we also talked about how in Ephesians chapter 5, how the Apostle Paul goes through one of the functions of marriage being to really be a window through which the world sees the gospel being lived out in a marital relationship. One of the beautiful things about marriage is that it reflects Christ's devotion and laying down his life for the church, as husbands are to do for their wives, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, and the way the church submits to Christ, as Paul says wives are to do for husbands. And so it's just this extraordinary picture. And I think when we understand the purpose and the function of marriage to represent God to the world, we suddenly understand why the Bible is so clear on the restrictions as to who we can marry, when a marriage when it's permissible for a marriage to end, when remarriages are permissible. And I think that begins to make sense as to why the Bible is so specific and so clear. And so from there, we really went into just talking through the text in 1 Corinthians 7, as Paul talks about, look, it's best that you don't divorce, but abandonment happens, and that's sort of an allowable reason or justifiable reason in a sense. But the overall sort of purpose is, and Jesus says in Matthew 19, like, look, the intent of marriage was for divorce never to be a thing. But because of sin, because of the hardness of our hearts, divorce is a thing. And so from there, what I tried to do was just to give us to point us to Jesus, because I think sometimes within our hearts, when divorce is a part of our story, we can feel like we're walking around with a scarlet letter on us, a big, you know, scarlet D, and we can feel like there's a cloud hanging over our heads. And I just wanted to remind us that through Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation, that Christ offers us a new life. We're new creations in Christ, and we're no longer defined by the things that we have done or the things that have been done to us. We're defined by Christ. And I think that's such a good reminder when it comes to marriage, to divorce, and to remarriage. Maybe some of us are in marriages that we shouldn't be in, or should not have entered into, because of maybe our divorce was not biblical, and maybe therefore then our marriage wasn't biblical. But in this, you should seek counsel, you should discuss, you should talk with someone. But we also need to understand that there's newness in Christ, and in the covenant commitment you've made to your current spouse, you should maintain that, and you should continue in that, because it seeks to glorify Christ, and it seeks to bring him honor. And so there's so much that could be said here, so much to be talked about. But I think ultimately what my prayer and my hope is that we would look to Christ wherever we are, that we would find the newness of life found in Christ, that we would take hold of that, and we would operate in a way that seeks to glorify Jesus in our current relational situation, whether that is married, whether that is divorced, whether that is remarried. In all situations, in all times, we would seek Christ and seek to glorify him. And so that's where I want to direct our prayers this morning, that we would just spend time asking Jesus to really come into our lives to glorify himself in us and through us. So let's spend time in prayer. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that it leads us and it guides us. I love that you give us such practical questions and therefore then practical answers. Now, Father, I ask that you would give us hearts to submit to your word, submit ourselves to the authority of your word, I should say. Father, that you would give us peace, that you would allow us to walk in the newness of life, Jesus, that you've given us. Would you glorify yourself in us and through us? And would you allow us to seek you in and through all situations? It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.